I'd like to welcome you all today and invite you to join in with the Berg family as they have come to remember the life of their father, husband, grandpa. And I thank you all for coming on behalf of Mrs. Berg and also the rest of the family. I would like to just share a few words from Revelation chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. This is a message that John the Apostle received as he was in a vision. It's the voice of God speaking to him. And the promise here is that because Jesus overcame, we also can be overcomers. And we will be invited to sit down on the throne of God with him. This is the hope of the resurrection. This is the hope that a believer in Jesus Christ would have, so that death is not something that we fear, but rather that we anticipate. The separation is hurtful. It hurts. The emptiness is huge. And so, as a congregation, I would invite you all to be near to this family in your prayers as they feel that emptiness, as they feel the pain and of the loss and the separation, but also to encourage them in the hope of the resurrection that we have by the words of Jesus himself. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Lord God, we just want to thank you this morning or this afternoon for your nearness that has been felt by this family. Lord God, you have taken home one of your sons. And we anticipate and we try to imagine the joy that he beheld when he saw you coming for him. In our joy of that, Lord, there is still the pain of the loss. When the family goes home, he's not there anymore with his dry humor, the comments that he would make. And so, Lord, we just ask today that you be especially near to this family as they start their healing process, as they look to you for that comfort and for that guidance. And we just pray that your spirit would also move within their families, their friends, so that at the appointed time they might come and be an encouragement to them, to strengthen them. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then to start the rest of the program, I'd like to invite Kathy and Dustin up to lead us in some singing, please.
Hi there. I'm going to read from this because I'm just going to forget everything when I see everyone's faces out there. My name is Kathy Brown. I am number 8 of Peter and Tina's 9 kids, and this is my family here beside me. My dad loved music. I didn't hear him sing much, but he loved listening to it with my mom. My parents taught us to love the Lord, to fear him, and to obey his word. A memory I want to share with you is very special to me. About 2 years ago, I started picking up groceries for my parents. I would let my mom know when I was coming, and when I arrived, there would be Dad waiting for me. He would be sitting in a chair across from the condo entrance. When he would see me, he would get up to open the door for me. He would usually say something funny to get me to laugh. Then he would go up the elevator, we would go up the elevator, and slowly walk to their door together. As time passed, he wouldn't meet me there anymore. Mom would come instead. If I could, I would walk with Mom to go say hi to Dad where he was sitting in his chair in their condo. He was always happy to see me. I will miss seeing you in your chair, Dad. But now, I'm sure if you have time to sit in heaven, you're talking with the Lord or sitting with a friend trying to make him laugh. Please join us in singing together.
I stand amazed in the praise.
Trembles and storms, trembles.
my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Stand before your throne, dressed in glory not my own. What a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key, and everything as it was meant to be.
We will worship. What a fitting opening. Pastor Herbman also with the songs. And the reminder here that we will worship. We will worship. And what we see here is a casket. And Dad is in there, but it's just his body. His spirit has gone to be with the Lord. So we are here gathered together to honor his memory. And I want to thank each one that has come to do that together with us. And I've heard many comments about how they loved, how they appreciated my dad, our dad, their brother, their uncle, whatever the connection was, their friend, maybe someone they worked with at some time. And we love him as well and we'll miss him. I'm Peter Berg, and I'll share the obituary at this time. I also wanted to welcome each one here, and also dads, brothers and sisters, your Schwester, Bedanke Jünt, for what Johann Jodon, ans Aller and Beseke, and Zinge für Ent, and for Zona Votona that are watching online, a special welcome there too. And besonders von der Zona Zant, what flake in Mexico, Watchadon or Understeter, Dankschein. So, obituary for Peter F. Berg, 85 of Steinbeck, passed away April 24th, 2022, at the Bethesda Regional Health Center in Steinbeck, with family by his side. And in this time of restrictions, we couldn't all be there, and we wanted to, but they made provisions for us so we could be there at least sometime. So we're very thankful and grateful for the hospital staff for the good care. Also for the home care, our doctor as well, Carnelson, yes, very thankful. Dad is survived by his loving wife of 55 years, Katharina or Tina Berg, 9 children, Peter Anita Berg, Bill and Angela Berg, Connie and Mark Brown, Carolyn and Zhuang Holufka, Helena Berg, Henry and Brenna Berg, Danny and Beth Berg, Kathy and Dustin Brown, John Berg, along with their families. Many grandchildren and one great-grandchild. He was predeceased by his parents, Peter and Agonitha Berg, and one sister, his oldest sister, passed away, was it over 20 years ago, and two brothers-in-law. My apologies, I missed one on the one that got read on over the funeral announcement. So there's two brothers-in-law also predeceased. Survived by 5 brothers and 6 sisters. Did I get that right? Yes? Okay. And their families. And like I mentioned, we appreciate how his family would come to visit them and sing with them, and we thank them for that, and we trust they'll continue to visit and support Mom and sing with her. Dad was born September 21st, 1936 in Morris. Moved to Mexico at age 11. He often reminisced about life in Mexico, seeing himself as a cowboy on his horse. And he'd share different memories. One he often talked about was a time he was, I don't know who was with him, but he was walking in the mountains and there was a cougar somewhere behind him, someone told him later. He hadn't noticed it. And I'm sure he was glad he hadn't seen it. He would talk about driving through the mountain roads, stopping to patch tires along the way. Nowadays, we just usually bring it to the tire shop, but he somehow had to patch them himself. He'd talk about his train car ride, I think to Tampico, with cattle in the back. Now he was looking after the cattle and milking the cows, so he had fresh warm milk whenever he wanted to drink. Another story he often shared was how he was trying to avoid a check stop. So he kind of went through a cattle fence, and all of a sudden there was this bull after him, so he had to all of a sudden hurry up. He often told that story too. Moving back to Canada at age 27, he ended up in Winkler, where it didn't take him long to notice a pretty girl across the street, the one we now know as Mom. The way I heard the story is he befriended one of the boys, I think Uncle Corny, which made it convenient for him to get to know his sister. They got married August 21st, 1966, at the Old Colony Church in Rheinfeld. And it was a double wedding together with Uncle Aunt Susie and Uncle Henry, so Mom's sister. So it was a double wedding, and they're also here. While they initially settled down in Winnipeg, where he worked as a welder, they soon moved off to Ontario, and I think it was because Grandma and Grandpa wanted to go there, and they wanted them to come along. They were there a few years, and then moved back to Winnipeg. Eventually moved on to Niverville, then Mitchell, and lastly Steinbeck, and different family members, different children born here and there along the way. Dad always worked as a welder at places like Versatile and Ultra Steel, and he often talked about a man named Milton that he worked for. And he'd say things like, Milton needed a job done just right, he would ask Dad to do it. And Dad did tell me, and I don't know if Bill as well, but he didn't want us to grow up to be welders. Too much fumes. So none of us, I think we all, maybe all welded sometime or have, I think. But we're not welders. Dad was a quiet, gentle man and content to stay out of the limelight. But when grandchildren came along, he livened up as he realized how much fun it was to tease them, each one that came along. We really noticed that, how much he loved his grandchildren. Yeah, he loved his children too. There was something special about the grandchildren for him. And he also met his great-grandson, and he appreciated that too. Dad was baptized upon the confession of his faith in Mexico, I think in the Sommerfeld Church in Mexico. And he took us, the family, to church. In Winnipeg, I remember going to the Sommerfeld Church here near Bothwell. Of course, it was a former building. And lastly, in Steinbeck, where they continue to feel at home. And we thank the Steinbeck Church for welcoming us as a church family. Dad was a man of peace who loved the Lord and lived out his faith in a quiet way. 2 Timothy 2:24 described him well, where it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Not very much described him. He didn't like any kind of streeting or anything like that. He was a man of peace. As Dad neared the end of his life, he referred to dreams he had. You know, he'd see heaven, and I'm sure he's also told me years ago he also had a dream where he saw hell. But that was a while ago. But he more recently had dreams of heaven and also seeing the Lord. At one point he said, I asked him about that, and yeah, any time he could see him. So I didn't quite understand how exactly that was. But he was quite confident in that, quite confident. And the Lord was with him. And not long before he passed, I made a comment in the hospital. I said, Jesus will come soon. And he said, he's already here. Hayasolhia. Hayasolhia is what Dad said. That the Lord was with him. He knew that. He could feel it, I'm sure. He had a quiet confidence in the Lord's abiding presence with him. I'd like to thank Dr. Knelson, as I mentioned before, and home care and hospital staff for their compassionate care, and Pastor John Schrader and Pastor Herb Unruh, and the church family for their support in this time. We thank each one who has come, who has helped in any way, and we really appreciate that. You know, I've made We've made many calls and asking people to help out with one thing or another. And we just want to thank you how much we appreciate that. You know, even just the meal that was brought to Mom's apartment just a few days ago, you know, how much we appreciated that. And those little things, how important they are. I wanted to close with a verse, and I heard this just a few days ago, a morning devotional on the radio. He's talking about the story where Jesus raised a little girl back to life and how the people were weeping there. And this is in Luke 8:52. It says, "And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." I was thinking, you know what? That's the same here. Dad isn't dead. He's just sleeping, you know, in the spiritual sense. And how precious. It's still sinking in. You know, I've shed many tears already as well, and I'm sure it'll sink in more. So continue to pray for us as a family, for Mom, and be sure to visit her and support her. I'd like to call up my two sisters. I want to share the tributes, Connie and Caroline.
Hi there, I'm Connie. I'm Mom and Dad's oldest girl and third in the family. I first want to share a short little tribute from my brother Danny. He said, "One of the things I remember Dad loved was going to see the Alberta Rockies. Mom and Dad used to take us to Banff every summer." This is really echoing. Is it really echoing? Is it really echoing?
They'll turn it down.
Mom and Dad used to take us to Banff every summer, and it was something we as kids really look forward to every year, and we sure did. I clearly remember the look of amazement on Dad's face when hiking up a mountain, looking out over a valley with mountains and lakes or rivers in the background, and Dad would say, as he often did when he saw something amazing, "Oh, I like that." And this is my tribute. It's a little bit longer. Anyone who knew my dad knew he was a quiet man. Most of the time, you couldn't easily get him into a conversation unless you asked him about Mexico. Then he could go on and on with memories of his growing up years there. He would talk of his experiences as a truck driver, driving into the mountains on gravel roads. He drove truck for a store owner, and part of his job was to get supplies from the city of Chihuahua. We often heard about Chihuahua. And Chihuahua, I don't know how many hours that was away, but it was many hours away. Amongst the supplies that he had to get were big barrels of gas and oil. And on his long drive back into the mountains, there was always a steep spot that he was never sure he could make it over with his big truck. But he always did. He said if he didn't, the truck would have rolled backwards right back down the mountain. And I actually have it on video, which I need to show my siblings, but when my dad was telling this story, he showed steep like this. Don't know how steep that mountain was, but that's how he showed it. So he would stay at this store, which I believe is in the mountains, and Dad's Yesh Vista would know a little bit better with that. He would stay and worked at the store, and part of his job was to stay overnight inside the store to protect it from thieves. He said he always had a pistol on him, and he wasn't afraid. He said you had to show no fear to potential thieves, and they did leave him alone. He mentioned several times that while in Mexico, he just wasn't afraid. He added that he would not be able to do these things now, but back then was different. He also had a horse that he loved, and a horse that would let only Dad ride it and no one else. And he regretted not having any horses out here in Manitoba. But he did enjoy seeing my sister Kathy's horses, the ones who led worship here. They have horses, and when they moved here a few years ago, my dad was able to go and see them and enjoyed that. My memories of Dad growing up are mainly from our home in Niverville. You'd frequently find Dad on a Saturday in the double-attached garage working on his vehicles. I remember the front garage doors open, the sunshine coming in, the smell of grease and oil, along with country music blaring from the vehicle was a common thing, and I loved it. That was Dad's happy place. I remember hearing Johnny Cash and George Jones, amongst other country artists, playing either from the 8-tracks or from the country music station CKRC. Or Dad would have a CB radio going, and you could hear the truckers going back and forth with their Big Ten 4. And if you don't know what an 8-track is or a CB radio, ask your dad or your grandpa later. As a family of 9 kids, we often didn't get one-on-one time with Mom and Dad. So I loved it if I happened to be around, if Dad was going to the store. I'd ask if I could come with. And so we'd go to the store, just me and my dad. I usually came home eating a tasty treat as well. Dad had brought an older motorboat, so boating became a favorite summer pastime. We didn't mind the muddy Red River. After a good ride and with our life jackets on, we jumped right in. It was water, so that was all we needed. Over the last year or so, I have been able to spend more time at Mom and Dad's. I live a couple of hours away, so I take a few days at a time and spend a couple nights there. So now I've gotten lots of one-on-one time with Mom and Dad. I enjoy being part of their day-to-day living. The favorite meal at their place is breakfast, and I frequently wake up to the smell of bacon frying and that wonderful aroma of morning toast and coffee. I'd come to the table to hear my dad's welcoming, "Who's this stranger?" and my mom's laugh coming from the kitchen following that. When my dad wasn't able to walk very well any longer, he got an electric scooter, and he was great at maneuvering that thing around in tight spots. So him and I would go check the mail down on the first floor of their condo unit. The first time that I went with him, after we checked the mail, we went back up to their floor, out of the elevator, around the corner, and down the hallway. Except that I noticed that Dad wasn't beside me any longer. So I looked back, and there he was, stopped at the intersection of the hallway, looking both ways to see if anyone was coming before proceeding. Always a good driver. My dad was a gentleman. He would first open the door for my mom to go through before he did, whether it was a car door or at home or wherever he was, and he did the same for me when I was there. That was one of the ways that Dad expressed his love and care. And Dad was not one to complain about things. You're hard-pressed to find him complaining about anything, but he did let you know when his coffee was cold. One of the last times I was with my dad at my parents' place, I took a stool and went and sat close to Dad in front of him, and we talked about his life a bit. He spoke of Mexico, but this time there weren't any stories. Instead, he spoke of some regrets. He didn't tell me what the regrets were, but that he had regrets. He said some things were not right, that he did, and he was sorry. It sounded like he had repented a long time ago, but he said it again. And then he added that he was sorry for anything else he ever did that wasn't right. He said, "I can't remember, but I'm sorry." So that was good to hear that that repentance is necessary. So I reminded him that once we've repented, we have forgiveness of sins, and Jesus' blood washes away all of our sins. And just the last few things here. As Dad and I continued talking, and Mom said to me, "Dad loves Jesus." And then she turned to Dad and asked him, "You love Jesus, right?" And Dad answered with a definite, "Oh, yes, he walks with me." By then, I had heard Dad talking about seeing Jesus a few times. It's very comforting to know that he's with Jesus now and he is free and without pain. So we look forward to seeing you again, Dad, free of pain and enjoying heaven, and maybe riding a horse again. And one more thing. Close to that time that Dad passed, Mom and I were in the hospital room, and we were singing some hymns to him. And as soon as we started singing about Jesus, he visibly relaxed. We started with "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," and then some others, including the German song, "Bald Chibald," which means soon, yes, soon. And pretty soon, he slipped into the arms of Jesus, my dad's savior and friend who walks with him. My dad, we love you, Dad, and we will see you soon.
Okay, I'm just going to read there's two of my aunts from my mom's side that weren't able to come. So this one is from Aunt Marge and Uncle Richard. It says, "Dear Tina and family, we're so sorry for your loss of your husband, Father Pete. Please know that we are with you in this time of pain and are praying for you. He is a gentle and loving soul and will be missed by us all." This one is from Aunt Betty and Uncle Len. "My heart is with you, Tina, and all family, as we mourn the loss of Peter, your beloved husband, father, grandfather, our gentle giant." I brought Kleenex.
She writes further, "I'm sorry I'm not able to be with you here today, but I'm with you in spirit and watching on video. I'm so thankful to hear of how near Jesus was to him in the days before he passed into his presence and how you sang him into that moment. I want to share this little hymn that I heard just after I received the news that speaks of Pete's free spirit, now in endless joyful worship." That's what I was thinking about as Kathy and Dustin led us this morning there. Joyful worship. So the verse that Betty shares, it says, "My life goes on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off hymn, how can I keep from singing? I pray much peace and comfort to you all today and in the days to come, as you continue to carry him in your hearts. With love, Betty Helmerson."
Okay. I have memories as well. I'm not going to share those, but God gave me a dream a week before my dad passed away. I'm just going to read what I wrote here. "God gave me a dream about Dad about a week before he passed away. But because he was still at home, thinking he still had some time here, I didn't anticipate the suddenness of his passing. In my dream, I was on my old driveway when I felt and heard a sharp earthquake, and I immediately began to run down the driveway towards my old house. Then the scene changed where I was standing by a group of people who had so much joy and were celebrating. I didn't see but sensed that they were there. Then I looked to the side and I saw my dad leaning up against a car, and there were a few others leaning on the car with him that I didn't see very clearly either. Dad looked younger and stronger. He was looking at me with love and had tears in his eyes and on his cheeks. And then I was in his embrace. But I felt no emotions. God gave me this dream because even though I remember special moments with my dad, I never had deep conversations with him, which I've really missed. When my dad looked into my eyes in my dream, I saw that he had an understanding about my personal life, as if we had had many deep conversations. I saw that he really knew me, like he already had read my story in heaven and I saw love. God knew that my emotions were bottled up inside, and this dream helped to break that down. And I did a lot of crying earlier. Knowing that Dad is in heaven and is much more alive now than he has ever, than he ever was here on earth gives me great comfort. God comforted and filled my heart like only a father can, and I believe the Lord allowed my dad to be able to do what here on earth he wasn't able to do through this dream somehow, because God is the author of time. I think that Dad would want to show all his children how much he loves them, and I know that that will happen one day when we get to see him again. God is also our dad and longs to have deep and personal conversations with us. Because God is love, love grown between his heart and ours through time spent together is the strongest connection and relationship we can ever have, and that can ever be built. We miss you and love you, Dad.
Good afternoon. Thank you for sharing. The family has asked if I would be willing to bring a meditation in the English language and a few words in the German language this afternoon, and I said I was willing to do that. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, we thank you that we can call you our Father. You call us your children. Lord, we seek your comfort and strength at the throne of grace. We lift up our voices of praise to you, O God, who dwells in the heavens. It is in the deepest pain and tears that we find comfort, knowing there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. May you embrace us with your Spirit, O God. Grant us, we ask, comfort and everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, that we would find refuge in the shadow of the Almighty. May your love overshadow us this afternoon, bring peace in our hearts that surpasseth all understanding. Lord, uphold us by your grace in this hour of meditation. We pray in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, this afternoon we're here to worship. As Brother Peter mentioned before already, worship our Lord, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who will come and return to receive unto himself his children. That is a beautiful thought to just ponder upon. As Scripture teaches us that we have no continuing city here. And sometimes I say, let's not get too homey, because we're moving on. You and I are pilgrims on a journey. I trust this afternoon will be a time to reflect on our own lives. We see that this brother, Peter, his body is lying in the casket before us. He's gone home. And for us to remember that one of us will be next. I believe if Peter were to be able to say something to to us this afternoon, he would say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Peter has finished his course. And we trust that he has pulled up the anchor and has reached the golden shore. There, to be in the presence of the one who bears the marks of his redemption. What a beautiful thought. What a wonderful consolation that we can have hope in Jesus Christ, that when a loved one departs, that we have reason to believe that he is with his Maker. Peter left behind his wife Tina, family, brothers and sisters, many friends, as we can see here this afternoon. And so we mourn, because there's a void, because there's an emptiness that has passing has brought about. But we find in God's word comfort and hope. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It is our journey of faith that we're on that helps us to understand what this scripture teaches us, that it brings about a promise that Jesus is preparing a place for those who love him, for those who anticipate his coming. As is Peter, as we heard from the family, sharing how he longed to see his Maker. He was ready. He was ready to meet him with anticipation. And as his family's mentioned already, being at the hospital bed beside him, singing songs, Balchabalt, and that he would even say, he's here already. Oh, that we would sense the presence of Christ this afternoon, knowing that he's with us. A place for a prepared people. We have this beautiful promise that we can take with us. And yet, isn't it sometimes so difficult, so hard to stand by a loved one's side and just see them slowly deteriorate, slowly fade away from life into eternity? Sometimes we feel so helpless when we see that, and we sometimes ask ourselves, well, how can we comfort people? How can we make it easier? What could we do to change things? And sometimes we pray earnestly that God would bring healing. I believe that's what you as a family did. Today we might say God has healed him, possibly in a different way than what you had expected or hoped for, maybe not expected, but hoped for. You know, and such is the love of God. When the love of God is within a family, it always draws us, doesn't it? We don't want to part with those we love so dearly. And yet the Bible tells us that we all have an appointed time. You do and I do. doesn't tell us when. But God saw it fit for him to go home to that mansion, that beautiful place that God has prepared for him. We could say today is a day of his story, or in other words, history. It's gone. When the sun sets tonight, it closes a chapter. And tomorrow, another chapter will begin, Lord willing. And so it is important that we think about that. God has not promised that this life will always be easy, that our time on earth is always going to be a bed of roses. But he has given us consolation. And Paul relates to that in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, where he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, we can't even compare it. It's not even worthy to compare. We can only imagine how that place is. We can only go by what the Bible tells us, but until we see our Master face to face, we will not see the beauty of the whole thing. We will not see the whole picture. But we ask, what makes such an occasion more bearable? It is our faith in the finished work of the cross. That Jesus died, he took my place and he took your place, and has ascended to the Father, preparing a place for those who put their faith and trust in him, and to know that the one we love was at peace with his departure. And I believe we can say that from what we heard from the family. He was at peace. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready. So at ease and confident that when Jesus would come to receive him unto himself, he was ready. And what Connie already shared about them standing beside the bed and singing Balcha Balt. I just mentioned the other day when we were together with the family, and you know, to have your dad say, he's here. That makes it so much easier. And so as we think about Peter's life, there's many things that we could reminisce about. Who he was, we've heard some of that. What he loved. What he accomplished. You and I will someday all have a story to tell. But somebody else will probably tell it about us, because you and I are on the same journey. When we face the moment of death, what really matters is, did we know the Lord? Did we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Was he king of my heart? Was he king of your heart? Are we ready to die by what we believe? Are we ready to die by what we believe? Did you know, friends, that it is possible to identify with the name of Jesus and reject his person? To identify with the name of Jesus and reject his person. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Christ wants us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. He doesn't just want a confession of the mouth, but he wants the meditation of our hearts. Such truth ought to cause us to examine our own lives. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Jesus had not put a question as such before his disciples, but the reality of death and departure was before him, and he wanted to know where his disciples were at, how they understood the whole picture. Then in verse 16 it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter responds with confidence of faith. That's what Christ expects from us. Not just confession of our lips, but faith in our hearts. And sometimes we need to ask the question, are we that real? Do we have it all together, in other words? Faith that brings eternal life responds to God's love, trusting that what Christ did on the cross was and always will be sufficient. In John chapter 3, verse 16, a very familiar verse, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we ask the question, why would God love the world who had turned its back on him and gone their own way? Why would God care for them? And it takes us right back into Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. When we read that and we understand that, that'll bring the picture together. It says, God created man in his own image. Now, when we talk about an image, we talk about something that we see. But I don't understand scripture's meaning that. I understand God instilled in us his character. And it says he created us in holiness and righteousness to have fellowship with us. That's why God created us. That's why we have part of God in us and holiness and righteousness, the characteristics of a holy God. But we know that that fellowship or that relationship was severed in the Garden of Eden, where God put Adam and Eve, and he gave them this beautiful garden to take care of, this beautiful place. We read about it in Scripture. They were in need of nothing. It was all there. But God told them they were not to receive of the forbidden fruit. But what did they do? They transgressed God's law. They took of the fruit, Eve took of it and gave it to Adam. And because of that, they brought a curse upon themselves and all those to follow after them. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, and God put them out of the garden. They needed to be moved out of that glorious place And it tells us in Scripture that on the east side of the garden, there were two seraphims with flaming swords to protect the way of the tree of life, that sin would not enter into this wonderful place called paradise. The only way in was to undergo the sword. And friends, this afternoon I want to tell you that Jesus Christ took that sword upon himself. He was crucified by the sword in order that we could come back into that relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Father, God who created us fearfully and wonderfully. God Almighty came into this world in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from eternal condemnation. As we read in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, a body so that the plan of salvation was possible. As Scripture teaches us, would be fulfilled of what Jesus said himself in John chapter 3, verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Our Heavenly Father gave his Son a body to be hung on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 to 11, it says, "But God commandeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement." I believe what Scripture is teaching us is to be a child of God ought to be a wonderful experience, ought to be a joy. We shouldn't be walking around with a long face, but we should have joy in our hearts. Sometimes we talk about happiness, but happiness is only the noun here. But joy is joy everlasting. Having that peace rule in our hearts. And as we go through life, we know that we have decisions to make and choices to make. Life has many choices, but eternity only has two. The cross draws a distinct line. There are only two alternatives. Either you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior from judgment and obtain eternal life, or you do not believe in him and you perish. Not multiple choices, it's two. The beautiful thing that you and I will never need to die for our sins, because Christ took that punishment. He covered that. The sins of the past, the sins of today, and the sins of the future are all covered under the blood of Christ. But we need to accept that. We need to believe that what Christ did was sufficient. Because Jesus was the one dealing with my sins and your sins. He walked into Jerusalem on my behalf and on your behalf. And the Bible does tell us that we will be forever lost if we don't believe. You see, it's not hard for us to understand, is it? We might say the gospel's pretty simple. And it is. But friends, if it only gives us intellectual understanding and it never enters our hearts, what good is that? Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." Faith is a journey that I trust we're all on. And it ought to always show us and point us to the cross, where God's sacrificial love was manifested. When the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," it is not a statement made because the world is so lovable, because it is not. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died. But he goes on to say, "For God so loved the world," which is a declaration not about us, but about God alone. For God alone is love. The Bible tells us that God takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" How shall we escape? God has extended grace to you and me today. The offer is still on the table, if you will. And I want to encourage you, if you have not received Christ to rule in your heart, do it today. Do it today. Just come. Come as you are. He still invites us. As I was preparing for this meditation, I was reminded of a little reading that I came across a while ago. It was a story of a young boy growing up. And I think most of us, or all of us, can relate to that. Talked about this young boy who couldn't wait to become a teenager. I think we know what that's all about. When he was a teenager, he couldn't wait till he could get his driver's. Many of us can relate to that. And then when he had his driver's, he had a difficult time waiting till he was old enough to find himself a partner and get married. When that had all taken place, he was just working and waiting to get into business. Someday he wanted to be a wealthy man, have his own business. And eventually that happened. And when he came to the age of, we might say, semi-retirement, I'm not sure that anyone knows where that's at, he was waiting for his pension check. You know the brown envelope? Eventually that came. And he became an old man. Then somebody asked him, "So what are you waiting for? It's time to die. What are you waiting for?" Friends, this afternoon, if you're here, You're not sure where you stand. I ask you, what are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. Jesus is calling. I want to close the English part with a little poem. It says, yes, life is like the Emmaus Road, and we tread it not alone, for beside us walks the Son of God to uphold and keep his own. And our hearts within us thrill with joy at the words of love and grace, and the glorious hope that when day is done, we shall see his blessed face. Avis Christensen. Wir lesen uns Römer Kapitel, nicht Römer, Offenbarung Kapitel 22, Vers 12. Offenbarung Kapitel 22, Vers 12. Du sagst Jesus, und sei, ich komme bald, und mein Lohn ist mit mir, und in jedem Tiefe Dorno aus seine Worte sagen. Er sagt, sei, auf Englisch sei, behold, I come quickly. Dort charpa wat hier fer ons liggie dat. Haf u geschoft. Da wat nicht mehr oor werde. I have flick on three chickens, feel the dinner. Would have lots of flick on honor, she don't know. And I close her as it labor. We check on some tragen and once we behold the honor, she don't know. Oh, and we not zach and trach me, that's what it all did. But I will that say, and you feel you think as to wait a night down. To wait a word on us. Erst und wir tun das aber nicht. Und dann so wie eine Frau, mit was habe ich gebüht? Habe ich mit Gold gebüht? Habe ich mit Silber gebüht? Oder tschässliche Steine? Oder habe ich mit Holz, Hay, Stroh, Stoppel? Mit was habe ich gebüht? 1. Korinther Kapitel 3, Vers 13, da sagt Paulus, es steht, über jedem seine Arbeit wird für einen Tag kommen. Der Gerecht sagt, wird er klar merken, wird lieber wird, weil sie Tag kommt mit vier. Durch dort vier wird sich wiese, von wo er sagt, in jedem seine Arbeit wir. Hier redet man mit verschiedensten Dingen Bühe. Wie weiten dort wann wie mit Gold oder Silber oder tschässliche Steinerbühe, dort wird bestohlen, wenn es brennen wird. Und wie weit ich dort wann mit Stapel oder Stroh oder Hei oder Holz wird taufstallen, dort betreicht das Vier nicht. Hier checkt, wie es, da denkt wie an ein Vier, aber was Paulus hier von reden wird, wenn es nochmal alle Wort für unseren Rechter kommen, Jesus Christus. In Offenbarung redet von seine Ehe sind so ein brennendes Feuer. Sag nicht, dass sie sind, aber sie sind so ein brennendes Feuer. Und wir wollen nochmal alle Mathe verantwortlich sein. Für die Dote, die wir getan haben und die, die wir nicht getan haben. Aber ein Ding, was wir klar haben, dass den Halsplan, den haben wir uns nicht verdienen mit unserer Arbeit. Wir können nicht genug Gold tun, dass wir Wörter im Himmel nehmen können. Aber ich will, dass es jetzt sei. Die Glaube, wenn die Faust in Jesus Christus ist, die bringt die Gold auf Worte, was wir tun. Was hat meint, ist so viel, dass wir wollen, dass wir was Gold tun, dass wir Gott die Ehr für geben. Heilat hat tot, dass wir das tun können. Und dass wir das durch seinen Geist können tun. Und der Geist uns tröstet. Mutmerke zu schaffen. as we might not have got us and got from life, and you know it. That's actually in Psalm 103, verse 13. So, as in Fodazik are warmed, if as in Echinga, so are warmed to Harzik, if I die on Ferchte. When you're reading that from Ferchte, that we shall not sit down, die on Respacto. They am on their channel us, I know they zin levy a lot of half for us. In Psalm 145, verse 18, verse 20, it says that they hire us no on. They am on rope. All day, they am on what at on rope. I shall take to free, they am fracture. I hit day what I'm on rope. Dan zegt hij, en hij helpt hij. Dan zegt hij, 20e vers, en hij werkt even. All day, day I'm God sent over the godloze, wat hij aanbrengt. Vele van ons hier van de Onomerach, we kunnen zeggen, we gaan, ben je de verre ons, zijn je ons niet. Besonders de oudere mensen. We gaan, ben je de verre ons, zijn je ons. Wat dat meine daar is zoveel dat we stonden nodig de tijd wat we hier, natuurlijk, wat we hier opreizen worden. We zien hem alle zijn. Maar we weten dat ook dat het alle, dat merkt niet iemand onderscheid. Verkomels, jonge mensen, en zo hoog worden van hier waar ook. Dan valt me bij van wat je waren terug naar koning te zeggen, wat je waren terug. Als je een bieraken zwier. Dan gingen we heen in een grof te begroven. Dan stond de funeral director door beside me op een grof. En we hebben geschlossen, we zeiden er daar. Drie stonden later, dan we ook naar leichje en we te duidelijk komen. Dat jonge Ella bewoont ons niet van de dood. En ik wil dit zeggen. We kregen niet alle aan krank en baat om eruit te maken om aan zijn heiland te bejenen. Wel, we deze tijd niet verzien. Jezus is ook naar hem. Maar het is wichtig dat we weten aan wat we zijn. Dat is wichtig dat we weten hoe we staan. Zal Jezus van deel komen. Paulus zegt dat ze zitten. Ik wil hem sluiten met deze vers. As I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we waiting over when dirt zelt and when we here in this world wonen, doorgebracht wordt, dan hebben we een huis im Himmel, dort erst nicht von Menschen hingebüht, aber von Gott selbst und wat ewig bleiben. Paulus redt hier von seinem Körper, wo er hier wohnen wird. As I En dat is een schöne ding. En dat is mijn gebed dat we er alle over de kennis zijn. Hij zegt, wie weet het? Wie weet het? Dat wanneer dit jaar wat sterven, wanneer dit jaar wat doorgebroken wordt, dan hebben we in de steden in hemel uitgemerkt voor ons. Je wist dat weet dat. Met de vrouwwaardje en zijn jaloten. Dus het spreekwoord zei dat het is volbracht, die pijn is ons. Vrouw ben ik jetzt, ik je nog ons. Ik je nog ons. Dat we het alle kunnen zeggen. De tijd wat we hier zijn, dat is gewoon niet allemaal leichte tijd. Het is ons ook niet versproken. Maar je wist dat wel we niet moet verleren. Wel verwaarts. God heeft een plan voor mijn leven, hij heeft een plan voor die leven. Wordt het hier op hier dan alle wat offeren, dat weet wie niet. Over Jezus te zeggen, in Hebreeën, daar reed hij van in de 12e kapitel. For the joy that is set before me, he endured the cross. Also de vrede wat ver aan via, je kan dat tjeriets in je een. Dat tjeriets wie gewoon niet zien de vrede, maar de vrede via dat wanneer dat wordt voorbij zijn, dan wordt hij bij hem vooruit zijn. and I'll do an Eckinson all over the tenant trap. It's me in your bed once all that. Amen. Well, not salute him in your bed. And before I be coming of day and is knowing Jesus, we thank and thee for a shiny word you and saying, Lord, I has. We thank and thee for the entrust in which I hear you. We thank and thee for the guest that is entrust bringt. We thank thee, Herr, for being alive and being in order that you have given this on us. That you have been here to us. Come, Lord. We must have thought we sent him Schluss on you, come. We will confirm him a hand as a leche day, if I answer like that, to grab us a way to bring him. Dorms all in bed with her. That we must cross, ain't you? Besonders for this zesta, your familia. And we wait not as in last Leibniz, then we only offline turn up this disturbing brother. I'm to rely on God's Aka. Her, we thank thee for the joy that you am the gift has. Go to Allah, direct. For the order of what you untoped you gave us this morning for you, do you unto the end us? We wait in Zina Reyes, you have to see the Essam Schluss you come. And we trust in us to met her that Zina Zoyle, they root in Jesu Armin. O Herr, help, O Herr, last will you lingen. Amen.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well.
Back as a scroll, the drum shall.